So one thing about God is that God is completely truthful. But we're going to think this morning with everybody about something else about God. A very special thing about God. And I'm going to read a few words from the book of Job. It's in the Old Testament of the Bible. It's Job chapter 12, 28 to 12 through to whenever I stop. If I forget, Tom, if you could advance it to the next slide, that would be cool. Now, as I read this, I want you to tell me what Job is looking for, okay? It's really easy. What Job is looking for. Anyone ever been down a mine? Anyone ever been down a mine on holiday or something? Some of the adults have. Any of you children been down a mine or down a tunnel? Anyone even been in a tunnel? Anyone even been underground? Okay. Well, mines are underground. Are they always underground? I think they must always be underground. And normally deep into the ground, and you dig and you cut into the ground and find really valuable things. What might you find underground in a mine? Yes. Gold, yes. Lots of gold mines in Belo Horizonte, which is where Rodrigo, who visits us, come from, and various other mines. It's called the mining state, Minas Gerais. What does Gerais mean? I can't remember. General. General mines. Okay, there's lots of general mines. Okay, what else might you find in a mine? Yes? Diamonds. Do you find diamonds in mines? Thank you. Well done. Anything else? Yes? Rubies. Do you find rubies in a mine? Okay. I don't know any of these things. I was thinking of much more simple things, like, yes? You didn't put your hand up, Kate?
Crystals.
Probably. Just assume yes. And silver. And something that you wouldn't think is maybe highly valuable, but it's really useful, which you burn. Coal. Yes. Some people love it, some people hate it because it makes lots of smoke, but we found it quite useful, really. So, Job is looking for something like a miner digs deep, looking for something really valuable or really useful. He's looking for something. I want you to tell me, when I finish reading this, what he's looking for. Okay, starts right at the beginning. You get so many clues, it's unbelievable. Here we go, verse 12. But where can wisdom be found? And where does understanding live? People do not understand the value of wisdom. It cannot be found among those who are alive. The deep ocean says, it's not in me. The sea says, it's not in me. Wisdom cannot be bought with gold, and its costs cannot be weighed in silver. Wisdom cannot be bought with fine gold or with valuable onyx or sapphire gems. Gold and crystal are not as valuable as wisdom, and you cannot buy it with jewels of gold. Coral and jasper are not worth talking about, and the price of wisdom is much greater than rubies. The topaz is another precious stone from Cush, cannot compare to wisdom. It cannot be bought with the purest gold. So where does wisdom come from? It is hidden from the eyes of every living thing, even from the birds of the air. The palaces of destruction and death say, we have heard reports about it. Only God understands the way to wisdom. And he alone knows where it lives. Because he looks to the farthest points of the earth and sees everything under the sky. When God gave power to the wind and measured the water, when he made rules for the rain and set a path for the thunderstorm to follow, then he looked at wisdom and he decided its worth. He set wisdom up and tested it. Then he said to humans, to men, the fear of the Lord is wisdom. To stay away from evil is understanding. Now, nobody call out. But what was the thing that Job was searching for? And he was saying, where is it? I can't find it anywhere, but it's really valuable. Yes, Barney, first hand up. Wisdom. And Job realized that he could only find wisdom in God. And that's what we're going to think about together this morning. That God is wise, and more than that, he's the source. He's where we get all our wisdom from. So what is God like? He is... what do you reckon? Begins with W. God is... shout it at me. God is...
wise.
Pardon? God is wisdom. He's wisdom as well. But we'll go for the shorter word. God is wise. God is what? Wise. God is what? Okay. I won't be too mean and make you say it again. I wonder what it means to say that God is wise. It means something like this. God knows everything and he always thinks and he always acts right. Knows everything and he always thinks right and he always acts completely right. You know, one of the ways we see that God is wise, like we saw that God is good, we also see that God is wise in the world that he made. Psalm 104, verse 24 says this: how many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. When we look at creation, we see the wisdom of God. We see it in the big things. What's that, anybody? Child. Yes. It's a whale. Anyone know what kind of whale? It's a big one. It's a blue whale. It's difficult to tell how big it is. Do you know this whale is as big as a basketball court? Is a basketball court about as big as this hall? A bit bigger. About the same size. So these whales are about as big as a basketball court. So about as big as this whole hall, which is pretty massive, really. I think it's 8 jumbo jets you can get for the same weight. So you weigh a whale and then you put it on the scales with 8 jumbo jets and that's just about the same. So they're massive. And in the big things in creation, we see that God is wise. Here's another big thing. It's an elephant. It weighs an awful lot. It probably weighs 30 or 40 times what an adult weighs. Can you think of any other big things in creation? Can you think of any other small things in creation? Really tiny things. I tell you what, anyone know what the biggest planet is? Some adult, tell me the biggest planet. Or in our solar system. Yes? It is Jupiter, and it looks like that. I don't know how you people know these things, but it looks like that. And if you got all the planets in our solar system, so you've got all the planets, put them all together, then you still wouldn't be as heavy as Jupiter or as much or as big as Jupiter. You'd have to double that. So it's really massive. So that's a big thing. Think of a really tall animal. A giraffe. Thank you. Yeah, a giraffe. They're pretty heavy, but not quite as heavy as an elephant. And there's really big furry things. Yes? Lion, that's a big thing. But even bigger and furry and sort of bristly furry and sort of darker brown sometimes, and yes? A bear, yes. Thank you for my pathetic description. You managed to get something. Don't play that game with me where you have to describe things. So they're the big things. And then there are little things as well in creation. These are pygmy, mouse, lemurs. They're the smallest mammals. And they're not just the baby ones, because you might think, well, babies are sometimes that small, but they're fully grown. Fancy that. It's a really cool picture, isn't it? I still wouldn't like one of them. They're like little rats, aren't they? But however, that is a beautiful small thing. And of course, there are much smaller things. There are the cells inside our bodies, which have got a whole factory going on, making lots of important decisions about our bodies. And from the big things right through to the small things, to the way the world works in things like the weather, that it rains sometimes and the sun shines sometimes, and it all kind of distributes itself all around the world. In all these ways, God has shown us that he is wise. Also, in the beautiful things, I don't know whether you think this is a beautiful flower or not. Some people might. Or the beautiful looking people, or the beautiful looking sunsets, or the beautiful looking mountains, or green fields, or glaciers, or whatever it is, when we see beauty and we think, wow, that makes us realize that God is what? What is God? I reckon he is, and we can see it in the world that he made. See, wisdom starts with knowing things. Starts with knowing things. Anyone heard of the band Union J? Anyone heard of the band Union J? Somebody over there. Yes, I knew nothing about them, but I went on CBBC, thought, let's get a band that the children might have heard of, and none of you have heard of him, so that was a waste of time. But I think Keturah had, who watches CBBC quite often, clearly. They used to be called Triple J. Does that any help? They were on X Factor. Do you know why they were called Triple J? Because their band members had, they all began with J, like Joshua and all that kind of thing. They were three J. Have you heard of them? Triple J and Union J, Capri? No. Okay. Where do you find out about, like, cool, trendy stuff? I don't know. Don't know where to look now. I was going to ask you about One Direction. Who's, like, the main person in One Direction everyone's heard of? Yes? Harry Styles. Yes. Yeah, why has everyone heard of that? I don't know. Even I know that bit. But there's lots of things we could know about bands or about other kind of fascinating facts. Have I got any written down here? Here's a fascinating fact. You can lick your knee if you want to, just about. I won't show you now, just in case I fall over. But you can lick your knee, but you can't lick your elbow, can you? Most of you will try, but I think, unless you're double-jointed or something, it's pretty much impossible. That's a fact to know. You can try later on as long as you like, as long as you have clean elbows. You can practice all day long. It's the same thing about you can't lick your nose, you know. That there are things, yes, I'm sure people's friends can, if they have a long enough tongue or a long enough nose, I suppose. Knowing things is good, and wisdom starts with knowing things. And of course, whatever you know, there's always more to know. So you might know about this band, but you don't know about that band. You know, you couldn't tell me the original members of the group The Doors unless you're over a certain age, or the members of The Who or something, or even though you might be able to tell me One Direction's band members. So there's always a limit to what we know, but God knows everything. There's nothing that God doesn't know. There's no fascinating fact that God will be surprised by, because God knows absolutely everything. But more than knowing facts, he also knows outcomes. Anyone want to guess what this is going to be? It's a head. But you didn't know, did you? Who guessed? Sorry, is that you? Anyone want to guess again? Guess. Guess what is in my head? Heads or tails? Okay, she's frozen. Yes.
Money.
No, you don't have to guess that it's money. You have to guess whether it's going to be a head or a tail. It's a 50p piece indeed. I'll flick it again. Just. I was sure that if I flick this enough times, I'd drop it. Anyone want to guess again? Yes. Tails. Sorry, was the question not clear? I'm sorry. It's tails. Perhaps you guys do know the future. Let's do another one. Guess. Head or tail? Yes, Tom. It's a tail. Okay. So that's proved forever that we don't know the future. We don't know the outcome, do we? We don't know whether it's going to be a head or a tail. Sometimes we might get it right. Sometimes we might get it wrong. But we don't really know. Just imagine if you knew every single time what it would be. That's trying to imagine what it's like to be God. So wise that you know all the facts, you know everything there is to know about the now, but you also know everything there is to know about the future. But you know what? It's even more than that. It's not just about knowing facts about now, and it's not just about knowing the future, it's more than that. It's about knowing the right thing to do with what you know. Knowing what to do with what you know. Knowing what's right and knowing what's wrong. It's about making good choices and not making bad choices. Because you could know everything, you could imagine, and you could know the future even, but you still make bad choices. But the thing about God is, he doesn't just know everything. He always makes the right choice. He always makes a good choice. He always turns in the direction of a good choice and not of a bad choice. Let me try and show you the difference between just knowing stuff and making right choices. Somebody put their hand up. Tell me what that is. Somebody who hasn't answered anything yet. Anybody? Emily, you haven't answered anything yet. It is a flame. Where might you see a flame like that? Yes, Barney. On a, yeah, where you cook stuff, yeah? On a hob, where you cook stuff. Brilliant. And what happens if you touch it? You see, absolutely, you get burnt. Knowledge is knowing that if you touch it, you're going to get burnt. Wisdom is not touching it. Wisdom is making the right choice based on what you know. And God always makes the right choices. What happens if you eat too much? This is what happens if you eat too much. You know this. Some of you have looked like this on Christmas Day. Somebody afterwards is going to criticize me for being unkind to cats or something, but my opinions on cats are not worth hearing. Anyway, we know that if we eat too much, we get unwell. Wisdom is to not eat too much. And that's getting a little bit harder, isn't it? It's one thing to know something. If you eat loads and loads and loads, you're going to get ill. But it's another thing to be wise and to do something because of that. We know that if we lie, it hurts people. One way or another, bad things happen when we lie. Wisdom is to always tell the truth. God is wise. He always tells the truth. It's not just that he knows stuff. It's that he always does the right thing. And wisdom is about what we do with what we know. And when we say God is wise, we don't just mean he knows stuff. We mean that he always does the absolute perfect and right thing. And he always makes the right choices. God is wise. He always makes the right choice for the right reason. He always does the wise thing, which is always the right thing. God is wise. And you know what? When I realize that God is wise, it makes me think I'm not very wise. Because however many exams I can pass, and however much knowledge I have, and even if I can imagine the future, I still make so many bad choices. So many bad choices. Maybe I don't burn myself on the burner every day, but I make all kinds of stupid choices, even with what I know. And then I also do lots of bad things just because I'm ignorant and I don't even know stuff. I do all kinds of stupid things because I'm so foolish and I've got so much to learn. And I feel a bit like Job, don't you? That you wonder, where am I going to find wisdom? Because I realize that God is wise and I realize that I'm really stupid. I'm really foolish when it comes to doing the right thing all the time. I feel like Job who said, where can I find wisdom? What mine can I find it in? Will I find it in the ocean? Will I find it in the sky somewhere? Will the birds tell me? And you know what the Bible tells us? It's that there is a man who is perfectly wise and who always makes the right choices and who knows everything. And that person is Jesus. In Colossians, in the New Testament of the Bible, it says, Jesus Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Think about that mine shaft that Job wanted to look down and find wisdom. Where we find God's wisdom perfectly shown is in Jesus. Jesus is the perfect wise man who always does the right thing. He always says the right thing. He always does the right thing. He always acts wisely. He always is obedient to the wisdom of God because he is God. So God is wise. It's about knowing and it's about acting right. We can see it in creation, but we especially see it in Jesus. So Jesus shows us that God is wise. But God is wise even though sometimes it seems like he's being foolish. Because maybe in general you might say, well, that's kind of, I suppose that must be true, God is wise. But the thing about God's wisdom is God is being wise even though it seems like he's being foolish. There are some things that happen that you wouldn't expect them to happen. Like your grandma doing a backflip. I was stupid enough to go on a website searching for grandmas doing backflips, and here's one. The disappointing thing is she doesn't actually do a backflip in the end, but it was at least a nice idea. And I'm sure some people's grandmas can do backflips. Any of your grandmas do backflips? Or forward flips? It's unexpected. It's not quite what you would expect. Sometimes things do happen that you wouldn't expect. Sometimes things are not quite what they look like. Now, I tried this at home, and it looks perfect on my screen at home, but it doesn't work so well here. But, oh, dear. Oh, I've spoiled that one. We're going to do that one now. I forgot that was the first one. Why's my pointer given up? Have you clicked something? Oh, wonderful. Thank you. You may have been trying to rescue me, Tom. Thank you. Right. I'm going to show you this on my screen here, because it doesn't work so well on here. But if you look at that on here, the cogs look like they're moving, but they're not really. I'll show you on here, guys. See, that's why you need to be down the front. Now, just stare at that. Are they still or are they moving?
Moving.
See, it looks like they're moving, doesn't it?
Still.
Yeah. Does it look like they're moving to you? Yeah, you see? It's really something that's not quite what it looks like. I can promise you that they're not really moving. But they do look like it, don't they?
It works on there.
Does it work on there as well? Perhaps you have to have better eyesight than I've got. Of course, it's working for you guys as well. Good. I'm glad. That wasn't a little boring interlude for you. Well, here's another one. Does this one work for you? Oh, there's a picture of Caroline. That makes your eyes go funny. What does that one look like it's doing?
Spinning in the middle.
Yeah, it looks like it's spinning in the middle. Sorry, Barney and Nathan, you didn't see the last ones, did you? But yeah. See? Does that one look like it's spinning for you guys? No, it's not so good. I think you have to have it kind of quite big in front of your face for it to work. This one works for everybody, doesn't it? Does it look like all the lines are straight, or does it look like there's a big bulge in the middle? Looks like there's a big bulge in the middle, but I promise you, all the lines are straight. You can get a ruler and hold it up against them, and all the lines are straight. All those lines down there, whoops. Where's the red bit? Is it that one? Oh, yeah. All those lines down there, green bit, it's they're perfectly straight. Sometimes, let me get back. Can't find my way back. Sometimes things are not quite what they appear. They look like something, but they're actually something else. Here's something that probably will be of interest to some of the adults, one of you at least. There was this experiment done about, did you say Bedouin or Bedouin? Bedouin. Amongst some Bedouin monks or shepherds or something. And there was an experiment to say, why do they always wear black robes? Because you just wonder whether that's the coolest clothing to wear. So they did an experiment. So they got a guy and they put him for a long time in the sunshine. He was kind of a very willing volunteer. And they tried three different options. So they tried him wearing this robe, this black robe like this, and took lots of measurements at the end of the time. And then they tried him with a white robe, and they tried him with a pair of shorts on. Now, what do you think out of those three was the coolest? Children? Yes? Shorts. Okay. What do any of you guys think was the coolest? Yes? The black. Well, do you know what? The interesting thing is, just leaving aside sunburn issues, because there wasn't any, they were all the same. They were all exactly the same. We're taught that wearing white is better because it reflects more. But when you take all the measurements, and because these are worn loosely anyway, and you've got convection stuff going on inside, and all other kinds of science going on, and to do with black radiating just as fast, and all that stuff, when you put all those things together, actually, there ain't any difference between wearing shorts, wearing the black thing, and wearing the white thing. And of course, eventually, it's harmful to be in the sun that much, so you need to wear something that's kind of all over you. So wearing black is fine. So sometimes things are not quite what we'd expect. They don't look like we'd expect. They don't turn out like we'd expect. There's another thing as well, which is a bit of an adult thing. But do you know what? Flicking these coins, what's the chances of getting a head or a tail? Someone tell me, an adult. It's 50-50. What if I've got this perfect coin here and I throw 1,000 heads, okay? What's the chances of me getting a head or a tail next? It's still 50-50. And do you know what? I learned that when I was in sort of GCSE maths, and it's true, but I still don't kind of believe it. I think if I threw 1,000 tails, and assuming I haven't got a duff coin, I'd expect a head next. Wouldn't you expect a head next? Things aren't, wouldn't you? Really? You just would. You know, you'd probably gamble your house on getting a head next, wouldn't you? That's why I shouldn't gamble, because I don't really understand maths that well. So there are some things that are just not obvious, and they're not what we expect, and they're not quite what they look like. Do you remember Noah? What was Noah asked to do? Yeah, he was asked to build an ark. What was an ark? Yeah? It was a big boat. It was a very big boat. People have tried to build a boat almost as big, but do you know what? Actually, the ark is bigger than any boat that has ever been constructed. So it's very, very, very big. So that answers some of the objections about whether you could fit all the animals in. But leaving that aside, he was asked to build a massive boat, and it seemed like and it looked like a really stupid thing to do. Why was it a really stupid thing to do? What does a boat need? Yes? Water. Was there any water near Noah? Don't think so. And what's likely to make lots and lots and lots of water on the earth? What do you need? You need a flood. And there hadn't been one. And there hadn't been lots of rain. And there hadn't been any rain, really. Just been due overnight. So Noah was asked to do something that seemed pretty stupid, pretty foolish. But it turned out what he did was the wisest thing you could possibly do, because it did rain, and it rained, and it rained. It rained so much that apart from the 8 people and the animals that went in the boat, every other living creature was destroyed by this massive flood. So what seemed foolish and stupid was actually the wisest thing. And that's what God is like. He's wise, even though sometimes it seems like he's being foolish. Some people look at what Jesus did and they say, this is foolish. God coming to this earth as a man and living and then being killed for other people's sin, that's a foolish thing. That's a silly thing for God to do. But actually, it's the wisest thing that God has ever done. When we look at Jesus dying on the cross, it's the biggest display, it's the biggest way that we're shown the wisdom of God. That he is so wise. Not only did he just make everything, which is amazing, but he had the wisdom to make an amazing plan where he could save people and make them friends with God, but at the same time stay being God. Perfectly God. Just God. And he could love us. You see, God's wisdom found a way to love us, but to still be God. And that is the greatest wisdom. God is wise in making everything. God is wise in knowing everything. God is wise in knowing the future. God is wise in always making the right choices. God is supremely wise in sending Jesus, his only son, to die for sinful people like you and I, so we could be friends with God, we could be right with God, we could have eternal life. God is amazingly wise, and when we look at the cross and Jesus dying, we say, there's the wisdom of God. If I didn't believe it through anything else I saw, now I see the wisdom of God. He is so wise. His intelligence, his ability to think things through, it's amazing. His capacity is extraordinary, that he thought of this plan so intricate, so detailed, that allowed him to express his love. God is amazing. I see his wisdom there. So, God is wise. The way that he saves seems foolish, but it's the greatest wisdom in the world. So what you've got to do this morning, what's the best thing to do, thinking about what we thought about, is to get wise. And there's two things. First of all, get wise by seeing God's wisdom in Jesus and the good news about him. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever looked at the cross and said, maybe people think this is stupid or barbaric or unnecessary, but actually it's the wisdom of God. Have you come to a point where you say, I can see that God is so wise as Jesus dies on the cross? And get wise in letting Jesus show us and tell us how to be wise. We get wise by trusting Jesus in the first place, but we continue to get more wise by being more like Jesus. We ask God for wisdom because he's got it all, and we want to learn to be more like Jesus because he was the only perfect wise man. God is wise. He showed us in so many ways. He's shown us at the cross. We want to see God's wisdom at the cross. We want to get wise by learning to be like Jesus.